I was in a cheap cantina off Dolores Street, Mexico City. I had been drinking for about 2 weeks. I was sitting in a booth with three Mexicans drinking tequila. The Mexicans were fairly well-dressed. One of them spoke English. A middle-aged, heavy-set Mexican with a sad, sweet face sang songs and played the guitar. He was sitting at the end of a booth in a chair. I was glad the singing made conversation impossible. Five cops came in. I figured I might get a shake, so I slipped the gun and holster out of my belt and dropped them under the table with a piece of hop I had stashed in a cigarette package. The cops had a quick beer and took off. When I reached under the table, my gun was gone, but the holster was there. I was sitting in another bar with the Mexican who spoke English. The singer and the other two Mexicans were gone. The place was suffused with a dim yellow light. A moldy-looking bullhead mounted on a plaque hung over the mahogany bar. Pictures of bullfighters, some autographed, decorated the walls. The word saloon was etched on the frosted glass swinging door. I found myself reading the word saloon over and over. I had the feeling of coming into the middle of a conversation. I inferred from the expression of the other man that I was in mid-sentence, but did not know what I had said or what I was going to say or what the discussion was about. I thought we must be talking about the gun. I'm probably trying to buy it back. I noticed the man had the piece of hop in his hand and was turning it over. "So you think I look like a junkie?" he said. I looked at him. The man had a thin face with high cheekbones. The eyes were a gray-brown color often seen in mixed Indian and European stock. He was wearing a light gray suit and a tie. His mouth was thin, twisted down at the corners. A junkie mouth, for sure. There are people who look like junkies and aren't, just as some people look queer and aren't. It's a type that causes trouble. "I'm going to call a cop," he said, starting for a phone attached to a support pillar. I jerked the telephone out of the man's hand and pushed him against the bar so hard he bounced off it. The man smiled at me. His teeth were covered by a brown film. He turned his back and called the bartender over and showed him the piece of hop. I walked out and got a cab. I remember going back to my apartment to get another gun, a heavy-caliber revolver. I was in a hysterical rage, though exactly why I cannot, in retrospect, understand. I got out of a taxi and walked down the street and into the bar. The man was leaning against the bar, his gray coat pulled tight over his thin back and shoulders. He turned an expressionless face to me. I said, "Walk outside ahead of me." "Why, Bill?" he asked. "Go on, walk." I flipped the heavy revolver out of my waistband, cocking it as I drew, and stuck the muzzle in the man's stomach. With my left hand, I took hold of the man's coat lapel and shoved him back against the bar. It did not occur to me until later that the man had used my correct first name, and that the bartender probably knew it too. The man was perfectly relaxed, his face blank with controlled fear. I saw someone approaching from behind on my right side and half turned my head. The bartender was closing in with a cop. I turned around, irritated at the interruption. I shoved the gun in the cop's stomach. "Who asked you to put in your 2 cents?" I asked in English. I was not talking to a solid three-dimensional cop. I was talking to the recurrent cop of my dreams, an irritating, nondescript, darkish man who would rush in when I was about to take a shot or go to bed with a boy. The bartender grabbed my arm, twisting it to one side out of the cop's stomach. The cop stolidly hauled out his battered .45 automatic, placing it firmly against my body. I could feel the coldness of the muzzle through my thin cotton shirt. The cop's stomach stuck out. He had not sucked it in or leaned forward. I relaxed my hold on the gun and felt it leave my hand. I half raised my hands, palm out, in a gesture of surrender. "All right, all right," I said, and then added, "Bueno,